Well, this morning our scriptures, we have two scriptures here that I would say relate to the life of the church. The first we'll read from comes from the book of Acts in chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. And this passage of scripture, it's a passage that shows how the church lived early on in its life and how the early believers lived together. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 32 of chapter 4 in the book of Acts. "Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There is a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And this morning, our second reading comes out of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And this is a passage of Scripture. It's called the Great Commission, where Christ gave to disciples their mission to go out to make disciples. And I would say as a body of faith, as the church, this is our mission as well. So hear these words at the back end of chapter 28, starting at verse 16 of Matthew's gospel. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about the church, I think of memories I've had growing up of being a part of the church as a teenager and in college and as a pastor as well. And those memories, mean something to me. And that's not me just making a general statement, but there's real meaning in how we experience the church and those experiences. The church matters in the body of faith, in the body of Christ, this gathering of believers, this gathering we do here every week here in McClave at 9:30, it has meaning, it matters. Because this is where we experience together, the life of faith, how we can experience learning about God, learning about Christ, as our young people up here shared with us earlier. It's where we can interact with the scriptures and all the traditions that play a part of our faith. The gathering of believers is something that has gone on, since the very beginning, as the book of Acts there showed with us. But for us today, it's important for us to recognize how important the church is, how important the church is as we grow and grow in our faith and our understanding of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, some of those memories I have growing up, some of those memories when I think about them, they come from both my own experience, but also those memories that are told to you, things you may not remember exactly, but get told over and over and over again, that eventually you kind of incorporate them. One of which is in my home church, there is a railing that goes along the back, kind of a handrail as you're coming, stepping down into the sanctuary. And there's some gaps in that handrail. I think they're about like this. And without fail, every time I go back to Coffeyville, worship there, in the home church there, somebody always mentions to me how I would fit through those rails. Now, we're looking about this right here. This was not when I was 16 when I did this here, but real young. And part of it is there's a balcony there, and so when I come down to children's time when I was 3, 4, and 5, I would take a shortcut, you know, through that rail going down. And now I guess because I'm a big guy and, you know, in my 30s, folks think that's a great memory to remind me of how I fit through those rails. But there's memories that, you know, I have, you know, from college as well of the potlucks, you know, of the food. And the McPherson Church of the Brethren, I mean, that was how they connected with the college students, was through their stomachs. And I'm okay with evangelism by potluck. I think there's nothing wrong with that at all. If it helps, you know, feed, you know, folks spiritually, then you can work on, you know, their spirit as well. And so these memories, you know, many of them are warm. Many of them, you know, remind me of the love I've experienced growing up and throughout my life. But there's also moments, you know, in the life of the church that can be difficult, that can be hard to work through, moments where perhaps we've had arguments, perhaps we've had, you know, conflict. And that's also a part of our experience as well. Whether we want to, you know, remember those things or to acknowledge them, it is difficult, but it's also a part of our story. Fortunately, those moments are not the end of our story as the church. It's not the end by any means, but rather part of the difficulty of being human beings living together. We will have arguments, and I feel we argue the most with those what we love the most as well. But it's not the end of our story by any means. In our Apostles' Creed, as we've been going through, you know, the Apostles' Creed, you know, as part of our Lenten examination, we have this line in there that may seem like kind of an odd line for us who repeat as Protestants, but there's some deep meaning here that I believe connects us as human beings, as people, you know, with our God. And it's that line there, it says, you know, I believe, and then it says here, the Holy Catholic Church. The Holy Catholic Church. Now, that word there, you know, Catholic, I will admit, for Protestants can be a bit of a hang-up. And part of it is our language and how we understand that word. But when we say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, for us as Christians, we are stating, you know, a belief in the universal church, the whole church, not just, you know, the church here in McClave, but the church throughout the whole world, the church that's grounded in Christ, that's, you know, that's shaped by his life. And so it's a really big, bold statement when we say that we, you know, have, you know, belief, we have faith in perhaps. No, the whole church, the universal church, the church around the world. And I think it's important to recognize as we go through this season, as we go through, you know, this creed, to pause and reflect on this universal nature of the church. Now, many of the memories and experiences we have with the church are local. They're here, you know, in this space, or perhaps as we're going through our life, if we've been away for some time or in a different community, you know, our experience is there in that local church. But the beauty of our faith, the beauty of our tradition, the beauty of our faith heritage is that we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. We're part of something that is, you know, greater even than our own, you know, lifetime. It goes on, you know, it's gone on before us and will go on after us. And there's real joy, I believe, in recognizing this universal nature of the church. Because when we have those memories, especially those fond memories, and we think about those fond memories there, we can also remember that there are similar experiences happening in other congregations as well. And on the other side of that, when we go through conflict, when we go through struggle, there are other congregations who have gone through conflict and struggle as well. And by naming these two things right here, we recognize that we don't go through the life of faith alone in this space. That we don't go through the difficulties of living together and also the joys of living together as a people grounded in faith alone. There are other people in this world who have our conviction, who have our beliefs, and we're grounded in Christ and the life that he has shared and offers to us and has offered on the cross for us, and the life everlasting. It goes beyond, you know, just here. It goes into other lives and congregations as well. And I think for us, when we are discouraged or we are down as individuals, recognizing this universal nature reminds us that we are not alone. One of the biggest challenges, I believe, in our modern world in 2019 is that it is easy to become very individualistic. It is very easy to kind of put ourselves as just individuals. It's not hard to almost create a virtual moat around ourselves, especially when we have, you know, struggles, when we have moments of difficulty. There's a part of us that just kind of, you know, creates this wall around us. But I believe as a people of faith, being a part of the church encourages us, if not calls on us, to break down those walls so we can be supported, so we can be loved, so that we can be valued. How the people lived in that passage of a scripture from Acts, and that chapter 4 of Acts. This passage out of Acts has just so spoken to me and is so meaningful to me, partially because it challenges me. This is a scripture here that really challenges, you know, my own notion even of how we support and we care for each other. Because if you see this here, I mean, communal ownership. There is communal support. I mean, it names it here in the second part of verse 32. And no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. Could you imagine going to our county courthouse and trying to get a title on one of our vehicles? Is if we held everything in common as a church? Can you imagine all the names they would have, the poor clerk would have to type in right there to make that work, or on our property? I mean, it's a different way of living that the early church, you know, lived in this manner. And part of that comes out of just the extreme poverty, and it's a subsistence living that so many in the days of the early church, you know, lived with and experienced. You know, holding things in common would not be difficult if you have just a few things. But when I read this here and I think about the church and how we, you know, see that we are a part of something greater than ourselves, for us, I believe, even when we read this, this can challenge us and push us on how we can be connected with one another. It challenges the notion of how we may experience and think that we're just individuals going about our lives by ourselves. This calls us and pushes us out of that individualism and pushes us towards being grounded and connected because of Christ. We don't do life in the church as just individuals, no, on our own little path. We gather together because of Christ, and we live differently because of Christ. The early church lived differently because of how they saw Christ being lived out and how they gathered. And for us in 2019, if we're really honest about how we live as a church and as Christians, and we see all that's happening in our world around us, yes, we can see that we are called to live differently. But I believe, though, as we live differently, we don't do this alone. We are gathered together. We are grounded in Christ. And so when we look at the last part there of Matthew's gospel, you know, of, you know, that great commission, that verse 19, I mean, When I hear this passage being read, I always think of like James Earl Jones, you know, speaking this out right here. You know, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I mean, what a bold statement that Christ shared with those early disciples. And for us as the church, as the body of Christ, I mean, this is our mission here. And we don't do that mission alone either. We do it as a church. We do it, you know, as, you know, people grounded in grace and faith. We go and out into the world and proclaim this different way of living. We proclaim this hope. We proclaim this life. We're not called to just keep it here in, you know, in our comfortable little space, but we're called to take that out into the world. I believe we are called to be that light, to be that salt, to transform the world. So as individualism creeps up in our culture and people become more and more isolated and alone, you know, being grounded in the Holy Catholic Church calls us to get out and to connect with others and to share, you know, this hope, to share, you know, this life that we have in Christ, so others will no longer be caught in the brokenness and sin of the world. Now, for a moment, it can seem overwhelming and perhaps too much there, but that is why we do this work together. That is why we gather together as a church. Individually, this work could be overwhelming. But when we gather together and share this great commission and live as Scripture calls us and has given us that hope and that direction, you know, through the life of Christ and the writings of Paul, we can be this witness and help share this love and this grace. It can seem like a tall order for us, but I believe as a church with Christ and with the Holy Spirit and our God, we can do this work. We can be a light for our neighbors. We can be a light here in the community of McClave, you know, sharing this hope, sharing the life of Christ, and that new beginning that is found in Christ. So, brothers and sisters, as we examine ourselves and our faith, as we use the Apostles' Creed, when we state that line, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we are uniting in mission. More importantly, we are uniting in Christ and the life that He has shared with us and the life we are called to share. We don't go through this alone or by ourselves. For we are a body of faith. We are the body of Christ together as the church, now and forever. Amen.